Hello again there, folks. So I thought I'd take another dive into archetypes of the left, and this time it was the last time we had the hatchling, and this time I'd like to dig in a little bit on the one that I've begun to think of as the abomination, which is it's the most despised of all of the different units of this neoliberal progressive army, which is strangling the West. The foot soldiers of globalism, you can think of them as this giant horde, and they've all got different units, different foot soldiers. And the abomination, I'm not going to use pictures or use names of any of them, because what they mainly do is censor people, shut them down, destroy people's lives. So the hatchling plays innocent about the ways of the world in order to make a straightforward debate difficult. The abomination isn't interested in any of that at all. It's just there to shut you up and protect the system at all costs. But they are of a certain type, which is, it's a bit overused, but the word degenerate. But to get into this, why they'd so disgust people. They're usually physically repulsive, they're usually morbidly obese, or they've got some kind of weird skin disease which makes their skin flake off, or they've got weird, dodgy sexual interests, and they're just genuinely sort of sewer people. They're just horrible. And what you'll find with them is that they know they are repulsive as well. They know that they disgust people. They know that their activities are disgusting people to people, and they revel in it. And so, if you think of it in Western society, still, there's a certain set of moral standards, of common decency which people live by and take for granted. One of them will be, for example, not phoning up somebody's boss and getting them fired because they said something politically correct. Even if they didn't agree with what the person said, it's seen as being a bit of a crap thing to do that to somebody. Now, the abomination, he revels in the fact that he's flouted this common decency. He thinks it's great that you then become triggered by what he's done. And so what you end up on is this downward spiral, because the more you hate them, the more they like it, the more that they're happy with it. And so I'm reminded, as a young fella, I used to play Final Fantasy to death. And so you build up your party and you've built up your weapons. You've got somebody who does magic, you've got somebody who's you've got a big sword, it's physical attacks, and another one's a healer. And then what happens is, if later in the game you run into a creature called Marlborough, and he doesn't actually do these physical attacks. All he does is blind your characters, poison your characters, confuse your characters, put your characters to sleep, and no direct physical assault. And it's a nightmare to deal with, because what then happens is that you've got to change the whole frame of the discussion and of the debate. And so in the case of the abomination, what they do, and if you have a set of talking points which you want to get across, like most other parts of the progressive army, the progressive stack, will to one degree or another either debate them or throw them out or just ignore them or whatever it is. The abomination doesn't care about that. The abomination is there to shut you up. So how then do you deal with that? How do you deal with somebody who wants to take away your right to speak? How do you deal with somebody who wants to have you fired from your job, thrown out of your house, ostracized and completely destroyed? Well, what tends to happen is that you get this negative feedback loop where, let's say, the more conservative minded person, he then goes to another level of extremism. And in some cases, I've argued often against the positions of classic liberalism, but one thing they do have a point on is that when you see these men going off and doing mass shootings, in a way, it's the levels of censorship, and it's the sort of negative being shut down by what I would call the abomination, is in large part responsible for that. They do have a point there, because you get this negative feedback loop where you can say, well, I have a point of view, and this particular group of people are stopping me getting that point of view out. And I don't know what to do about it, because how, again, so you can see that the discourse descends into this nihilistic hell. And then on top of that, the abomination revels in the fact that they have dragged you down to that level as well. They're conscious of it and they're very happy about it. And what one of the things that you have to ask is that why do they find themselves in these positions of influence and power? And it's because in a healthy society, the archetype of the abomination would be living in a gutter, begging for scraps of bread. But when your culture, when your politics, when your civilization has been utterly corrupted, what you'll find by a hostile elite, what you'll find is that the degenerates and the freaks and the cruels people, the perverts and the weirdos, are then elevated into positions of power and influence over the normal population. And it's not that they're all these ideological fruitcakes. It's that they're of a certain character type that the system recognises will be vindictive and malicious. And so they elevate them up into positions of power over the normal population in order to bully them and to hate them and to rile it up. It's tempting at this point to think of Alexander Solzhenitsyn and the Gulag Archipelago, when he points out that in some of the far-flung areas of Siberia, where the Gulag complex, what you would find would be that the system would take people who were in the jail for psychotics, they were rapists, child molesters, and various other forms of weirdos, who in a healthy society would be completely under lock and key. And Solzhenitsyn points out that oftentimes they were let out of the prisons and then put into the positions of prison guards, because they want the weirdos and the freaks to be in positions of power over the normal people who are being funneled in from the Soviet Union. So again, you see that this particular type, this disgusting reprobate, is in a corrupt system always put in a position of power and influence over normal people so that they can persecute them. They don't have to be ideological purists. They just have to be psychotic and vindictive. That's enough. But it says a lot about who the elite are and what their long-term plans are. But more, when you look at, say, what I got into the last time with the Hatchling, that if there was some sort of revolution, you'd find that a lot of the progressive stack would sort of dissolve and drift away back into the main society, the main bulk of the population. They'd give it up and just go about their lives. But because of the fact that the abomination archetype, the abomination, is so despised, that they can't actually do that. They can never step back from the system. They're tied to it forever. So if the system goes down, there's a fundamental change, they are the first people to be held to account. And they know it as well. And so what's so brilliant about this setup, it's sinister, it's disgusting, but what's so brilliant about this setup is that it means you have certain people elevated into these positions who, even if they wanted to, couldn't switch sides or back away from it, because they've gone too far. They are well known and the general population absolutely despises them, and so they will fight to keep the present order, to keep the system alive to the bitter end, not because they love the values of the system or anything like that, but just to save their own necks. And while they're doing it, they will gleefully persecute the people who they have this influence over in this corrupted society. And I mean, there's a few of these people that I know that people are conjuring up images, and one name in particular is probably going to litter the comment section, but there's actually quite a lot of them. And they have this trait in common. And it isn't that they're particularly ideological purists or that they're super brainwashed. It's that a corrupt system puts degenerates and weirdos and bullies and freaks in these positions of power over the normal population in order that they can torment them. And that is the leftist archetype that I think of as the abomination. So thanks for listening, folks, and I'll catch you next time.